And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to what? To do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's verse 5, chapter 2. Read that with me in unison. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I don't know if that's where it ought to be in your mind. One more time, let's repeat verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Our Father, we come to you right now. We ask you to sweep down with conviction tonight. Somehow, Lord, break down the barrier of unbelief. Lord, deliver the captives tonight, we pray. Oh, God, we need you tonight. A move of your Spirit. We need your power. Anoint these feeble lips of clay. Anoint the ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Please, everybody, say in Jesus' name. And one more time, repeat after me, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You may be seated. There's a snappy saying I've read on some bumper stickers. Jesus said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Perhaps to adjust it a little bit better for my thinking, Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If somehow I can scripturally implant in your mind the attitude, whatever the Lord says to do, if you'll unquestioningly, unhesitatingly, unreservedly get up and do it, you can be saved. But if you want to argue and fuss and rationalize and explain away the plain meaning of the Scripture, then you can't be saved. Because boiled down to the fundamental fact is this. Your salvation depends on your obedience. Your obedience to the Word of God. 1 Samuel 15:22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. The Lord God told us in His Word, in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. I want you to appreciate your friends and your family. But whatever they believe, if it's contrary to the Word of God, Jesus is right.
Amen.
And in obeying the Word of God, you lose friends, yea, even family. You must obey what the Bible says. In fact, verse 32 of Acts 5 said, and we are his witnesses of these things. And it goes on to say, he giveth the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Your reception of the Spirit of God is dependent upon you obeying him. Obeying him. The book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9 speaks of our Lord. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Meaning salvation cannot come unless you obey Him. It is dependent upon your obedience to His command. The Bible says so. 6-7 of the book of Acts speaks of some priests. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith. When Paul reviewed the Romans and their salvation in Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Thereby telling us what saved the Romans was their obedience to the form of doctrine which was delivered them. What saved the Romans will save you. It was said of the early church in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 20 of Ephesians tells us we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3:11 states, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's not what I say. It's not what you say. It's what the Word of God says. Proverbs 30, verse 4 and 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add not thou unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. 22:18-19 of Revelation. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now what does that say? It's simply stating God says what He means, and He means what He says. It is not subject to your twisting or further rationalizations. It is not subject to your personal idiosyncrasies, ideas, philosophy, humanism, or opinion. You gotta take it like it reads and obey it to be saved. And I want to be saved. How about you tonight? When we read such verses like 1 Peter 1:22, when he reviewed the salvation of those he wrote to, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. The only way you gain immediate access into this experience is obeying the truth, which will make you free, John 8:32, through the Spirit. Therefore, I come right back. If you're too hard-headed to repent, you're going to go to hell. Luke 13:3, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 5 saith the same. 17:30 of Acts, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Hear me? If you're too proud to get out and tell God you're sorry for your sins, you will go to hell. Now may I say, in all humbleness, you do have sin to contend with. Is there one here tonight that feels they're perfect, that has never ever made a mistake? Would you care to raise your hand? Let's don't just talk in the glittering generalities. Let's get down to specifics. If you're so great and have never made a mistake, I want to see you raise your hand. Or will you admit with the rest of us, we had sin in our lives and we needed somebody's sacrifice to take that sin away? The Bible puts it very graphically, 5:12 of the book of Romans, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, For the law has sinned. Death came by virtue of sin. Sin got its way into the bloodstream. It is the inherited tendency of your ancestors to do wrong. It comes automatically with this veil of flesh. The Bible speaks, verse 19 of Romans 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, thereby proving to me sin was a blatant act of disobedience. And if you're going to remove sin, you've got to obey that which you disobeyed. You must make right that which was wrong. Galatians 3:22 tells me the Scripture had concluded all under sin. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the brilliance and the dedication of men in science and industry that we have reaped the benefits from the same. Be it Edison and his light bulb, Alexander Graham Bell and his telephone, or whatever, Salt and his vaccine. I still say the Bible states the Scripture had concluded all under sin. 1:15 of James said, sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. 6:23 of Romans, the wages of sin is death. 1 Kings 8:46, there is no man that sinneth not. It goes further in 7:20 of Ecclesiastes, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. 32:23 of Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. Reveals to me, you can't hide your sin. You can't explain away your sin. And you cannot educate yourself to mind over matter where your sin will be hidden. Your sin will find you out. Paul said in Romans 7 verse 11, sin deceived me and slew me. And he said again in verse number 14, talking in verse 18, in verse 21, in verse 24, the utter despair of a man that realizes, I'm carnal, sold under sin. I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And then verse 24, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Don't you ever get mad at yourself for smoking and for drinking and saying that bad, ugly word and thinking that vile, immoral deed in your mind. Haven't you ever got completely mad at your own self because you couldn't help yourself from doing things you know the Word of God said you couldn't do? That's because of your nature. It's got to be changed. And colleges can't change your nature. Money cannot change your nature. Family and friends cannot change your nature. Only the one who made you can remake you. Only the one that created you can recreate you. Only the one that gave you life can give you a regeneration and a renewing. It takes God to do that. In the book of Romans chapter 3, if you please, in verse number 9, it said, both Jew and Gentile, they are all under sin. Verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 19, that all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're going to have to deal somewhere with the sin question, sir. You either deal with it here on earth while the Savior is willing to forgive, or you're going to stand at the white throne of judgment. According to Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15, and the books are going to be opened, and another book is opened, which is the book of life. It is an account of what you've done with every waking moment that you have had. And the Lord is keeping a record. And if you don't want to settle the sin question tonight, you're going to face God with your sin at the white throne of judgment. I'd rather get it settled up right now, hadn't you? 1 Timothy 5:24 and 5 speaks, some men's sins go before the judgment and some men they follow after. I'm glad I sent my sins on ahead, aren't you? For judgment begins at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Therefore you have sinned. For you to blatantly sit there and act as if you've never had a sin in your life is a lie. A blatant lie against the Scriptures. Therefore you must take your sin to one who can wash it away. I cannot do it. Money cannot do it, according to 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are taught we're bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 7:23, 1 Corinthians, and that God purchased the church with His own blood, Acts 20:28. feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Money cannot remit your sins. It takes blood. The blood that is pure and holy. 7:26 of Hebrews said of Jesus, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. And 4:15 of Hebrews states, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I submit to you, if you don't want Jesus' help and don't want to obey what he says to do, you're going to be lost. You're going to be unclean and stand before God condemned. I'm glad I obeyed what he said to do. Now, the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Everybody say gospel.
Gospel.
It means good news or good tidings. And Paul said, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Everybody say saved.
Saved.
Now that's what I'm interested in, being saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Everybody say Christ died. And that he was buried. Everybody say he was buried. And that he rose again. Everybody say rose again. The third day according to the Scriptures. Now, there's no way you can get around it. It's incontrovertible, incontestable. You just will shut your mouth and not argue against it. The gospel of the New Testament is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You hear me now? It's not anything else. Others, even holiness, are tributary, incidental to the central theme of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be saved, you've got to identify in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You hear me? Romans 6:6 said, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. That phrase, old man, refers to your carnality, to your nature. You've got to bring that old carnality and crucify it. As much as you don't want to do it, but if you're going to be saved, sir, you've got to come down and tell God you're sorry. And you've got to repent and say, forgive me for being what I am, doing what I'm doing, going where I'm going, reading what I've been reading, acting like I've been acting. That old carnality's got to die.
That's right.
Jesus was buried. You've got to be buried. 2:12 of Colossians speaks, buried with him, not them, him, in baptism. 6:4 of Romans, therefore we are buried with him, not them, him, in baptism. Baptism is a burial. 3:23 of John, the Baptist was baptized Enon near to Salem because there was much water there. Don't let anybody sprinkle you and say it's a baptism. That's a lie. That is not scriptural. Baptism is a burial. From the Greek word baptizo, meaning to plunge, to completely overwhelm, to cleanse by dipping. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, 10 of the book of Acts and verse, 8 of the book of Acts and verse 38. The Bible said they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. May I submit to you, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew 3 verse 16, and he come up straightway out of the water. I'm speaking to you, baptism is a burial. Paul was told by Ananias, 22:16 of Acts, when he was baptized, washing away thy sins, not sprinkling away thy sins. You must be buried with him in baptism. You've got to go to the water and take on the name of the crucified Christ and the resurrected Christ. You've got to take on the name of the one who shed his blood for you. Now others stop here and do not preach the essentiality of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to show you, friend, as if the death burial was not complete without the crowning achievement of redemption thrill, the resurrection of Christ, so you are not a complete born again New Testament Christian unless you have had a new birth of water and spirit. For the Bible plainly tells me in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must have the Holy Spirit to belong to him. The disciples received it on the day of Pentecost. Mary received it, Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, compared with Acts 2, 4. If they had to have it, then you must have it, my friend. For they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues accompanied the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 4. accompanied the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 10, verse 44 to 48. Accompanied the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 19, verses 1 through 6. Friend of mine, if you receive the Holy Spirit tonight, you will speak. I said speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Now, to nail this down, I go to the conversion of Paul. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 6, the Lord told Paul to rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Everybody say, must do. Now, don't you sit there now and say it's not there. It is there. It said, you go to the city, and it'll be told you what you must do. Everybody say, must do. Now, if you read verse number 14 through 18 of that same chapter, and the account of the same experience in Acts 22 and verse 16, you'll find Ananias comes in, lays his hands on Paul, and said, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me unto thee that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Be is a passive verb. It's acted upon. The same as in Acts 2 and 38. Be baptized. It shall be told thee what thou must do. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He was told to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands and also to be baptized. Don't let any preacher ever tell you, you don't have to repent, you don't have to be baptized, you don't have to receive the Holy Spirit in order to be a New Testament Christian. That's a lie. You've got to have a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Romans 8:11 said, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelled in you, 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 dwelled in you. Quit messing around with my mind. Quit trying to settle my spirit. Won't do you any good. Dwelled in you, dwelled in you, dwelled in you, dwelled in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Someone sung the other night, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. What do you think's gonna resurrect that mortal flesh? What do you think is going to bring you up out of that cemetery? It's going to take a power greater than anything this world has to offer. It's going to take the resurrection power of the sinless Son of God. Now in John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man. And Jesus was going to talk to him about salvation. It's almost incongruous, inharmonious, a jangling discord, contradiction. Talk to a religious man about salvation? Just because you go to church don't mean you're saved. You can go to hell as quick from a church bench as you can from a bar stool. But this was a man that was a ruler of the Jews, meaning he was a member of the High Hebrew Tribunal of the Sanhedrin. That was a body of about 70 religious elders of Israel that governed the religious affairs. They had the final say, like our Supreme Court on civil matters. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, a teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. How many would be willing to raise their hand and publicly confess, you know Jesus is of God? That He's not just another man. He is of God. Would you raise your hands? Now, is there anybody here who would try to raise your hand and thereby say that he's not of God? He was just another man like I am. Now, let's set the record straight tonight. I feel a spirit that needs to be told from the Word of God exactly what's truth. So, therefore, we must all believe this, that Jesus was deity, was God with us. And Nicodemus honored that. We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. What a testimony. Peter said it so much in Acts 2:22 when he stated, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And also Peter, 8 years later at the house road of Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I believe Jesus Christ did miracles, the likes of which the books could not be written nor the world contain them. I believe he did miracles because he was God. Nicodemus honored that. We know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now Nicodemus was setting his own trap. He was stating, you are of God. What you're doing is of God. Therefore, if he acknowledges that, he should be willing to accept what he says and teaches and preaches as the final word of authority. But some of us, oh, we want our arthritis healed. We want our bad heart condition taken care of. We want that cancer blown away. We want our minds and its tumor on the brain all taken care of. But we want to argue and dispute and fight over what the Bible says. I'm telling you, the blind eye opener said you got to be born again. I'm telling you, the man that walked on the Sea of Galilee said you had to be born again. I'm telling you, he that raised Lazarus from the dead said you had to be born again. And when we major, and get this, when we major on miracles and let our church only on the supernatural and the miracles and the healings, we've missed the central theme of the gospel. For what good is it if you're healed in body and lost in soul? My friend, salvation is the one most single important event of your life. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen. Jesus said that. You going to hear him? Except a man, meaning mankind, be born again. Everybody say born again.
Born again.
That means one more time you've got to be born. I came into this world with a natural mama and a daddy. But I've got to be born all over, he says.
Amen.
How can this be? John 1:11 said he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now you and I know biologically, we're mature enough to realize there's no human being going to be born unless there's the will of the flesh and the will of man. Now I do not elaborate. You know that is the truth, biologically speaking. But yet it speaks of some people that were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That God can take an active part in your regeneration. That God can take an active part in your rejuvenation. That God can recreate you and give you a new nature and a new experience and a new heart and a new way of walking and a new way of talking and a new way of living and a new way. He can do it. 1:18 of James said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So the begatar is the word of truth that performs the act of paternity. Error will not save you. Now catch this close. If you're going to be born again, it takes truth to save you. I know a lot of us went to a lot of churches. We thought we were all right. Until we read 5:39 John that said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And we searched all 1,189 chapters, all 66 books, all 773,692 words. We searched, and not one place from Genesis to Revelation did we find anyone, anywhere, baptized with the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost pronounced over them. And we were staggered at this. Well, I've been in this tradition all my life. I was raised this way. And we asked the preacher, and he sort of laughed it off. But we said, look, Acts 2:38 said you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5 all said you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look, Mr. Preacher, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, Colossians 2:12, there are seven places where the apostles administered baptism in the name of Jesus. Now, they must know something, Mr. Pastor, you don't know. Therefore, I've got to take the Bible. I appreciate what you've done for my family, but I've got to take the Bible. I've got to live according to the Bible. until you come to that moment of truth in your personal identity and mind, you cannot be saved. To know truth is nothing if you don't obey it. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So the begator is the word of truth. Now, 1 Peter 1:23 said, being born again. Everybody say, born again.
Born.
Not of corruptible seed. Everybody say, corruptible seed.
Corruptible.
Now that's referring to your human parents. God bless them. Remember and respect your mother, your daddy, always. No matter what church they go to, if they don't go to church, that's your mama and that's your daddy. But you came in the world the product of corruptible seed. You got to be made over. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, you've got to be made over again. The Bible speaks of it this way. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It speaks of it this way. 6:15 of Galatians. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It speaks of it in this manner. 6 of the book of Romans, verse 4. We rise to walk in newness of life. Ephesians speaks of it in this manner. 4, verse 22 of Ephesians. Putting off the old man. And that don't mean your husband either. There's too much of that going on in this world anyhow. And it said in verse 24, and put on the new man. That's a direct reference to your Adamic nature, to your carnality. It's got to be conquered. It's got to be subjected to the Word of God. You've got to bring it to Calvary. You've got to tell your old sinful nature, we're going to repent. You've got to tell your old carnality, we're going to do what God said do. We're going to obey. We're going to obey. We're going to obey. If my family turns their back on me, I've got to obey. If my friends turn their backs on me, I've got to obey. I must be what the Lord says.
That's right.
Colossians 3, 9 and 10 saith the same thing. Therefore, there exists an experience that remakes you. Hallelujah. That regenerates you. That you're not good enough the way you are. You got to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God? A domain in which God is king? Is certainly not on this earth. Joe's Pool Hall, the discotheque, the blatant homosexuality of San Francisco and other places I have been, the don't care who sees me attitude of L.A. and Chicago, and even here in Pine Bluff, doing things the Word of God plainly says don't do. His kingdom is not being performed or set up on this earth. Where is it? It is in the hearts and in the souls and in the minds and in the spirits of those who have chosen to say goodbye to your devil. Goodbye to your sin. Goodbye to your world. I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to let Him come into my heart. You don't believe that? Luke 17:20-21 said, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. 1 Corinthians 4:20 said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Therefore, get out of your mind that just wordiness, namely education, involving a whole lot of gobbledygook and words that bring you understanding in your mind about many subjects, makes you a fit citizen and a good man or a good woman. It won't do the job. The kingdom of God's not a bunch of words. It's power. Power to come into your very existence and override the tendency to do wrong. The inherited tendency to be ungodly and unclean and filthy. I don't care how many times you quit smoking cigarettes when you come to Jesus, He can take them away. I don't care how many times you've fornicated or adulterized or been a homosexual or a lesbian or a liar or a thief. I'm telling you, there's a power that can override that and can give you a new heart with a new set of feelings that you won't want to smoke, you won't want to drink, you won't want to lie, you won't want to be an adulterer, but you'll want the power and the presence of God. Praise God, everybody. Praise God, everybody. 1 Corinthians 15:50 said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore you and your Adamic nature and your physiological conformity, that is, you sitting there with you, what you are, 6'3", 5'7", you, Adamically, you can't get in the kingdom of God. They won't let you in. They don't let flesh and blood in it. You've got to have a regeneration. If you want to get in this kingdom, you got to be made over. I don't care if you're a beauty queen or you're ugly in a mud fence. You're not getting in, friend. You got to be made again. Hallelujah. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Nicodemus wasn't being a smart aleck. He just couldn't understand. I'm an old man. And I got to go back and come again into the world like I first came. You know what I do, Jesus. That's impossible. You're demanding something I cannot do. Jesus was not speaking of a natural birth. He was speaking of a spiritual birth. I fully don't understand it. I'll be the first to admit how he does what he does. But he does. I cannot fully understand it. How he can take vile, corrupt, putrid, unclean, filthy, low-down, dirty hearts and run them through his blood, his name, and his spirit, and they suddenly become white as snow. But he does it. I don't understand it, but he does it. And he'll do it for you. Now Nicodemus said, I'm an old man. Do you expect me to come back in the world the way I came from my mother's womb? I can't do it. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A further elaboration of verse 3. He said, except a man be born of water. Therefore, he could not be referring to the water present at your natural birth. For you were already a man, a grown, mature individual. You were standing here in existence. We're not speaking of someone yet to be born naturally. So he wasn't speaking of the water present at your natural birth. He was preaching that you, sir, you, ma'am, an adult individual, you've got to be born to water. And the only water I'm preaching to you is the baptismal pool of water in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not as some preach it, he that believeth is saved and shall be baptized. Jesus walked 70 miles from Galilee to Jordan, Matthew 3:13, to be baptized by John the Baptist. Did he not? Matthew 3, read it, verse 15. He was baptized by John. First Peter tells me he's our example. 2:21 and verse 22 said, who did no sin. And 7:26 of Hebrews, among other verses. Yet he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Some of you wouldn't walk 70 feet. Go ahead. Laugh me out of here. Go ahead. Go on home. Sit up half the night talking and reading about things you want to. Go on. Chase the dollar tomorrow. Build your house. Get you a pay raise. Drive your new car. But I want to tell you something, sir. Except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. You better somewhere get in your mind. It's not what men say, it's what Jesus says. It's not what I think or what the preacher thinks, it's what Jesus says. It's not what my wife or my husband or my children even say or my dear old mother, but it's what Jesus says. You got to get that in your brain. It's got to be part of your thinking. If the Lord said something, I'm not going to fuss about it. I'm going to get up and do it. And he said, except a man be born of water. Now water is water baptism. Peter preached at Cornelius' house, Acts 10:48. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Most versions read, in the name of Jesus Christ. You think your preacher or your mother or father or brother or sister is going to have the authority to countermand An apostolic commandment? Who do you think you are to tell an apostle that Jesus called, Matthew 10:3, gave keys to the kingdom, Matthew 16:18. See spokesman on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:37-8. That he's goofy and beside himself. And I've been reading his almanac and I've been thinking, I'm going to make it without being baptized. My sins will be just somehow magically abracadabra, lay open sesame. Just poof, they're going to be gone. Friend, don't sell yourself that bill of goods. You've got to be born of the water. You've got to somewhere repent of your filthy sins. And you've got to go to the water and be baptized. The Old Testament analogy was in Exodus 30:20, where the priest had to wash his hands and feet in the laver, a big container in which was water, or God would kill him if he went in to offer the sacrifice. How dare you think your sins can be remitted without baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? Knowing full well that in water baptism you take on the name of Jesus. Say Jesus.